right, and welcome to A Businessman's Guide to Almost Everything, the show where your host, myself, Cole Brzezinski, get to sit down with interesting people from interesting fields. We get to pick apart what they do, what makes them tick, some of the threats that they face, and hopefully learn a little bit or a little bit of something new. So today with me, would you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Nadia Bulos. I am a freelance web designer with Reset Web Design. I've been in this business for 5 to 6 years, and I started out as a marketing coordinator, then manager at a company in town. And now I love helping local small businesses maximize their online presence and build a wonderful website that's not only aesthetically pleasing, but also efficient and that converts really well. This is my passion in life, and I love doing it. Very creative.
So, all right. So with Reset Web Design, are you the owner or do you just work there?
I'm the owner, the sole owner. I do work with third-party providers, such as SEO experts, type designers, graphic designers, other parts of things. But mainly, yes, I'm the sole owner.
So it sounds like a lot of partners that we'll get into a little bit more. So broadly speaking, how would you describe your work, generally speaking, if you had to give it like a one or two sentence explanation?
My work is I meet with a client, I find out about their goals and objectives, and part of their marketing strategy, of course, and I curate a website particularly personalized for that particular business. And I make sure that it covers all the things that it needs to cover and that it's efficient and effective for them.
So one of the things, because I did a little bit of research when we started talking about you coming on the show. And so I checked out your website and some of the things that you offered. And it wasn't just website design. It was things like copywriting. You provide analytics reporting, which like that makes sense. That's obvious to me. Things like copywriting. And I know for a while you were doing some social media management. You were doing some video production, like small scale stuff, like mostly on the side to complement your other offerings. But when I thought website development, I thought you would just build a website. So why do you have so many ancillary services?
Well, those kind of comes with the industry. Copywriting, for example, has to be a part of my offering because, you know, the website has to be streamlined in a way that makes sense to the customers, and it has to align with the users, with the client's vision and mission. And so the content needs to be catered in such a way that makes sense. And so copywriting is part of it. You have to make sure the headers, the taglines, the content, it's all streamlined and it all makes sense. So it kind of goes without saying that, you know, you have to make sure that everything's proofread, everything makes sense, and everything aligns strategically on the website. So that's part of it. Analytics, like you said, makes the most sense because it's a point of reference. Mm. And without that, you cannot gauge if the website's doing what it's supposed to be doing. Mm. So that's a big part of it.
So, like, I want to take apart each of those real quickly. So copywriting, real briefly, for someone who's not aware of what that actually means, what is copywriting?
So copywriting is curating the content to make sure that it reflects what the client, like the keywords that they're going for, the target audience that they're trying to cater to, that this language is curated in a way that makes sense to the end customer. So copywriting is just making sure all the sentences, everything's proofread, everything makes sense. And in a website, it has to strategically be placed in different spots. For example, you have like the call to action buttons. They have to be phrased in a way that attracts attention and converts customers. Everything has to line up so that it ultimately can drive more traffic.
Mm. So it's kind of like, the client will tell you what they want to do.
Yes.
But they're not very good at giving you specifics. Or if they do, sometimes those specifics won't actually work as well as they think it might. So the copywriter comes in and they make things a little bit more practical.
Yes. Practical and more also organized. So a lot of the times the client will come to me and ask me to, you know, add, you know, 3 or 4 different pages to the website. And then they give me a bunch of content, and then you get the content and you have to sift through it, filter through it, and make sure, okay, I have the right keywords in there. I have the right turn of phrases. I have all the things that I need to make the website make sense for a user who's just logging on for the first time.
Right. Okay. So then with the analytics, we're talking about if a website's doing what it's supposed to do, how do we measure that? Should a regular website be just naturally attracting viewers who are just like searching the interwebs for stuff or what?
So there's two parts of this. The first part is that, and this is what I do, is I basically optimize the site while I build it. Mm. And so I make sure everything's optimized on there. It's mobile friendly. I make sure that, you know, there's alt tags on the pictures are compressed. I make sure that the navigation menu is very clear. I have a header and a footer that's very clear, all the contact information. So I have links, internal links, backlinks. So the site in and of itself is optimized. And that when you get to the site, you can navigate the site very easily. Mm. That's one part of it. The second part of it is, you know, when you type it in Google, where does it rank? Mm. You know, which place is it ranking? That's another part of having a website. And that is something that an SEO expert, for example, will help you accomplish. Mm. But what I like to do is you have to start somewhere. You start with the first step is to optimize the site in and of itself. Make sure, okay, what I have here is a solid product. And from the beginning to the end, the website makes sense. It aligns with your strategy. It aligns with your branding as a business. And so when the customer actually lands on the site, that it's fully optimized and it makes sense.
So for the sake of putting it into an image, and you can tell me if I'm kind of on the right track here. Your first part of the job, as you were talking about, is to basically make a really well-paved road. It's clearly marked. It works well. Regardless of how many vehicles end up on that road, that's a different task.
Yes.
Your first goal is just to make sure the road works and it's seamless.
Yes.
Gotcha. And then we have SEO, your search engine optimization. That's getting people onto the road.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's talk about your day-to-day work. So web designer, you got a few different fields that you've clearly kind of grown into just as part of the work. What does your day look like from beginning to end?
So my day, usually there's a lot of time management involved because I usually, when I'm working on projects, I have projects that are in the start. I'm just signing proposals and I'm just getting started with, you know, knowing what the client wants. I have projects that are midway through where I'm actually already building the site. And I have projects that are done. I'm launching them. I'm testing them. So I have different phases. And so I have to keep track of everything. Mm. And what I do is I make a priority list. That's the first thing I do in the morning for the day, the week, the month, whatever it is. And I go through the tasks. Mm. And I also do have maintenance clients. So clients that I do maintenance on a monthly basis. And those are also tasks that are going to be also put in that list. But usually the most challenging tasks I do first thing in the morning, such as copywriting, such as strategizing, those things, because they take so much thought. And so I start with those. I make a list of the tasks that I need to be done, needs to be done that day. And then I tackle them one by one.
Mm. So website maintenance, can you expand a little bit on that? What does that actually entail?
So for me, for each company is different. For me, and you have to be very specific about this, it's updating plugins, themes. It's making sure you have the latest version of WordPress, for example. It's making sure that sometimes I offer to do 1 to 2 pages, creating 1 to 2 new pages after the site has been built. And clients find that useful because sometimes things come up during the year and then they need to add to the site. And also, of course, all the back end stuff. So dealing with the hosting companies, if the domain name is expired and needs to be renewed, any DNS propagation that needs to be done, anything on the hosting side, which is the FTP site and all this stuff that clients usually, it's too technical for them to get into. So I can handle that for them.
So let's move on to why someone would come to you, a web design specialist. Because I saw GoDaddy advertise to me and some YouTubers say that Squarespace, like I can just make a website, no problem, supposedly. So why do I need a web specialist to come in and do things like copywriting to tell me what analytics are worth looking for?
So of course, I mean, with all the DIY, everybody is offering DIY these days. And also now you have the artificial intelligence that to add to that. So it's an AI powered DIY platform that you get to use. And I'm all for that. these are all great tools to have. But when you approach a website, the way I do it more of a holistic kind of view. And I take it as a project. It's a whole project that's going to be a part of your marketing strategy. So this is going to be supplementing all the other marketing stuff that you're doing as a business. So it's not just designing it. And there's a lot of technical stuff that arises that some people don't know how to deal with, but it's mostly also time. It takes a lot of time to get the website done. And this is where I come in. I'm catering to the local small business who does not have the time to tackle this big project. Somebody who needs help with strategizing it as a part of a, so this part of the website as a part of the whole marketing strategy that they're trying to do. And something that complements their branding and all the other things that are that they are doing in real life. So I'm just coming in to get all the pieces together so that I can turn in a whole project and they don't have to worry about it. They don't have to, you know, they can worry about other important things in their business.
Okay. Instead of a, so you're coming in, you're saying like, hey, I can do the job properly and you can focus on what you know you do well.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Exactly.
So if someone was to come to you, like, let's say I run a media business, but I want a better website because I made my own. I need help. So I come to you. We have a conversation. We decide it goes well. What does the onboarding process look like and how do we do the follow-ups? Like, what does our production look like?
So first and foremost, I have a the first introductory meeting with you to find out a little bit about you, your business, your goals, your objectives. And then, of course, I'll do my own research about your business and, you know, where you're at, because I, my projects vary greatly. I could be doing a medical website and then I jump into an auto glass shop and then I'm doing something for a chiropractor. Like, so it's, it varies greatly. So I have to get, do some research and background, on that particular industry. So after I do that, I usually send a questionnaire, with, to get all basic information from you, like contact info, social media handles you'd like included, a business name, all the different things that you might want on the website. An example of a couple sites that you do like, a couple sites you don't like, and just to kind of gauge where you're at with that. And then I send over a proposal, very detailed, and a deposit. And then usually it depends on the client, but some clients want a wireframe to see, to look at. What the, a wireframe, basically, it's a black and white representation of what the pages are going to look like, the layout of the pages. And so I can provide that for you if you'd like, or I can just start building. And of course, I will run by you, like if you need a new logo, I can get that done for you. If you do have a logo, I can send you some color palettes to see, okay, and like some fonts that I think would be appropriate for your site. And we can kind of go from there.
So wireframe, you're kind of showing them the blueprints of the website?
Yes.
And that's pretty normal for website development?
It is. It depends on, some people want to see wireframes, some people don't. So it just depends on the client. But yeah, usually if you're dealing with a bigger company, they almost always want to see a wireframe.
Interesting. So what's the most challenging part of that whole process for you? Because like how in depth is that proposal?
So the proposal is one thing that's more like details of what the, you know, the contract includes, what services I'm going to provide and what exactly I'm going to be working on.
I see.
The wireframe is the next step after that, where it's like the layout of the pages. And so the layout of what, and you know, the navigation menu, what information is going to be included, but it's a very, basic layout. It's, it doesn't include images. It doesn't include anything like that. It just includes the just the layout of where the blocks are going to fall on the page, how the page is going to be designed.
And for you to turn over a proposal and if they want a wireframe, is that going to take you like a day? Is that going to take you a week?
Well, a proposal usually a couple of days because I need to make sure I'm including all the things that I you know, that we had discussed. And sometimes there's revisions to the proposal, which I'm, of course, open to. And but yeah, I mean, wireframe takes a little bit longer, but the proposal, a couple of days, I would say.
Okay. Yeah. So let's say, actually, before I even get to that, how would you measure the scale of a project? Do you usually measure websites by how many pages they have, or do you use other metrics?
Yes, I do. I usually, once we have the introductory session, I kind of find out, okay, what are you looking for exactly? Is this going to be an online business card type of thing? Or is it going to be an e-commerce site? What kind of a site or portfolio, like if you're an architect or anything like that? So I kind of gauge how many pages we're going to be making. And then from that, I also take into account if we're going to have any additional tools added to the site, such as e-commerce, because that's a separate section. Or sometimes there's like a separate plugin, like calculator, or, you know, maybe you want to add something, a patient portal if you're a medical doctor. So any of the other extra elements that come into play besides the actual pages that I take into account.
Okay. And so if I was to say like, hey, I'll use my business as an example. My website has about 6 pages. I don't have any e-commerce, but they can come in and book appointments. Yep. How much is that probably going to cost me ballpark wise?
So for pricing, it's a little bit challenging, especially that this is a Bellingham kind of a price range here, because Seattle prices differently.
Sure.
So for Bellingham, what I have found, my personal experience, anywhere from 2,000 to 3,000 for a 4 to 6 page website is pretty affordable for the local small business.
Right.
And you are giving, I feel like it holds its value. I will never build a website for $500 because I know how much work goes into it.
Right.
Let's put it that way. But around there, I feel like I am satisfied with this price. And then my client feels like they can afford it, especially as a small business. And kind of everybody's happy.
And with that ongoing maintenance, is that included in the 3,000, let's say, or is that a monthly subscription effectively?
That is a monthly subscription. It's going to be separate. And of course, anything above and beyond that, if you want 3 pages created, then I will charge hourly.
That makes sense.
The case. Yeah.
Right. And how much does the monthly subscription usually fare? Is it $50 a month?
It's like $60 right now.
That's not bad.
It's not bad at all.
No, that's not.
And make sure, I make sure your site is not crashing. I make sure your site is operating optimally. I make sure all the things are lined up and no broken links, for example. So that's what I provide.
So
peace of mind.
that's worth its weight in gold at the end of the day sometimes. Yeah. I'll keep on with my website. Let's say I got a website. I think it looks good, but that's my opinion. And my wife tells me that sometimes I have bad taste. So how am I going to examine my website and tell if it's actually doing a good job or if I need to revise it?
A lot of people, let's see. So I've had clients come to me wanting to redesign their websites. I have quite a few clients that do that instead of like having a brand new website from scratch. And usually the redesign comes because they are noticing that customers are not, maybe they're filling out the form, but the form is not reaching them properly, or they can't find the form online. The customers cannot find their location online, or they call them and they're like, oh, it took us 30 minutes to find your phone number online or something like that. So usually it comes from a necessity where people are like, okay, this is not very optimal for me right now. I'm not getting the customers that I'm supposed to be getting, or they're landing on the site, but they're not really converting. They're not finding the information that they want. And so that's where a redesign comes in, where it's like, okay, let's take all the information that you already have on there and let's see how can we optimize this information to a point where it makes sense to the user to come in and like use it and actually reach you.
So when you're looking at a website then and you're evaluating it, you're probably then looking more at the analytics than you are even just like the visual ergonomics.
Of course.
Gotcha.
Yes. It has to flow. So there's something called UX UI, right? So UX is the user experience. And I always look on the back end. Google Search Console is a great tool to have for that, where you can actually see the patterns of, okay, how do people spend that time online on your website and how does the traffic flow? Where are you getting the traffic from? What kind of customers you're getting? Are they more on the mobile or more on the desktop? Like what is, so you can have an idea, a clear idea of what people are doing once they land on your website.
That sounds complicated. okay, so how about this? If someone doesn't have the resources to hire a specialist, but they have a nagging suspicion that they need to improve the site, whether they need to make a new one or they just need to redesign it, what are some tips that you would offer them?
Tips. Of course, it depends on the platform that you're working on. For something that's intuitive like Squarespace or Wix, I would want to make sure there's a lot of call to action buttons throughout the site. Make sure you have all your contact information on the first page, on the homepage, because that's where people land first. Make sure that, of course, the site is mobile friendly, because a lot more people pull up the site on the cell phone first before they go on the desktop. I would make sure that the images are compressed, because that would speed up the site, speed up the loading. So a good tool you can use is TinyPNG. It's a great tool to use. What else? If you can write blogs and put those on there and update your site, that would refresh the site and make it more crawlable, and it would definitely make people, you know, add value, content value to your site. And yeah, those are some of the tips I would say. And make sure like the colors on there are a good contrast, because a lot of times people don't pay attention to the colors, and that's the first thing that the users see is. And so if the colors are not very well complementary, it's such a turnoff for clients, and they just click off because they're not interested, you know. So it has to reflect your identity. It has to reflect your brand and your business marketing strategy. So everything has to line up, I would say. Consistency is key.
Consistency. So we talked a little bit about some of the platforms that people use. Wix is very popular, Squarespace, GoDaddy, a little bit less so, I think. What is your preferred workspace?
I am certified in WordPress, so I feel very comfortable working with WordPress sites. The only thing about WordPress is that it's not intuitive for the end user. So it depends on the client. If the client wants to take ownership of the site after I'm done with it, I would not recommend WordPress, because they will probably not know where to go or how to create a page, or some of the plugins can be a little bit iffy and a little more complicated. So Wix has been great. They have done some major updating to their platform, and I use them quite a bit. Squarespace, I would say, is the least flexible for me to work with. But if the client is set on the Squarespace, I just take it, use it, and make it as good as I can make it. And usually the websites turn out just fine. So, but it depends, again, on the scope of work that they're wanting me to do. And if they want a lot of flexibility in there, I would definitely suggest WordPress.
So WordPress seems to be for either those who are really eager to learn, or they want the best website possible.
Not the best, but I mean, it is going to be the best, but it's also going to offer the most options, if that makes sense. So if somebody wants to, in the future, have an e-commerce site or whatever, I would definitely suggest WordPress.
So if I was to decide that, hey, you know what, I got a little bit of extra time, I'd be interested in learning WordPress, how long is that going to take?
So, I mean, I had to take classes to get the certification. It's not, like I said, it's not very intuitive. You need a few weeks at least, at the least, to learn it, because there's so many different parts of it. And not to mention the experience of working with it, because things kind of arise as you work with a website. And so there's a lot of things that go on the back end of WordPress that people are not aware of. So you need to learn about that.
You had to take classes to learn WordPress. Where did you take those classes?
I actually did them at Whatcom Community College.
Really? So these are like college courses?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Again, you can do an online workshop. There's a lot of things that are available online if you have a willingness to learn.
I know. I've just been going to the University of YouTube a lot lately.
YouTube is great. YouTube is great.
You really can learn just about anything these days on that place.
That's very true. That's very true.
Okay, so how about this? How do I increase the natural website to my website? Sorry, did I say that right?
No, the natural traffic.
The natural traffic, yes. How do I increase natural traffic to my website?
So, some of the things that I mentioned already, make sure that it's mobile friendly. Make sure you have a blog of some sort, content that's being refreshed. Videos, images, all these things, any kinds of different, anything that would, those things would add value to your site, videos and images for sure. Also, I would say, as long as you have content that's being constantly refreshed, that actually affects the traffic to your site. And keywords. Obviously, you have to have the right keywords on there. And I'm trying to think what else. There's quite a few things. I just, you know.
They're more intuitive, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
So can you expand a little bit on keywords? Because I know we had a group of SEO specialists in here in our last batch of recordings, Britt Reber and Justin Spradlin.
Yes.
From Growing Your Traffic. And they do great work. And we talked a little bit about keywords there. And I said, like, hey, if I'm selling a car wash company and I had a webpage that just said the word car wash 50 times in a row, mm-hmm. that means I've done a good job with my keyword, right? And then I was told that that's not the way to do
it. That's not true. Yeah.
Okay. So tell us a little bit of like, what are keywords and how do we properly use them?
So I'm not sure if this is my wheelhouse. Mm. I would leave that to, I think that question is best tackled with Britt and Justin.
Interesting.
Yeah. What matters to me is that when somebody comes in with, you know, a specific type of content, I make sure I do a little bit of keyword research mm-hmm. and I make sure those keywords are integrated in the copywriting that I'm doing in the website.
So you probably find that you end up working a lot with SEO specialists.
Yes, then. Exactly. Exactly.
Interesting. So what's that overlap like? Is it like, if you were to have 2-3 more years, do you see yourself moving into SEO as well? Or do you think that those are pretty well partitioned apart?
Yeah, I don't think so. That's not my passion get into like SEO stuff. For me, I'm more on the design side of things. Mm. So I appreciate the work that they do because it's very important. Mm. But I like to focus more on the design aspect for sure.
Interesting. Definitely more of a artistic leaning than I suppose.
Yes. But copywriting means a lot to me as well. Copywriting is very essential in the website. So it's like, it's a piece of it, but it's not complete. The whole idea.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So last question before we close out this episode, what is something you wish more people and more businesses understood or appreciated about your field?
I would say how time consuming it is and how it's more complicated than it looks. There's a science to it. It's not everything is as simple as you think it is. And things take a lot more time and work. And you have to have a lot of knowledge and skills to be able to support that. And sometimes people don't appreciate that, I'm not just doing this because I'm bored. Mm. I'm doing this because I'm passionate about it and because I've taken the time to learn about it and really understand what to do with it. So it's all, people think, you just plop in some blocks on the page and that's web design. No, it's not. There's so much more that goes on the back end than just that.
No, that's good to know. Yeah. Well, Nadia, where can people find you?
You can find me online, resetwebdesign.com. I'm always down to go grab a coffee in a coffee shop and talk about your next project. And I'm local, so I prefer working with local businesses. So that's pretty much my niche.
All right. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you everyone for tuning in to this episode of A Businessman's Guide to Almost Everything. We hope you've learned something new and something valuable. And until next time, take care and be well. Bye-bye.